titled The Prodigal Son. That story is found in Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning in verse 11. And at the time, we only looked at the very first section. And that very first section was entitled The Rebellion. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger son came to the father and said, Father, deliver unto me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And he delivered unto them his goods. And after a few days, the younger son made a journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, a mighty famine arose in the land, and he began to be in want. And he joined himself unto a stranger of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine, and he would have fain eaten of the husk which the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. There, my friends, is the rebellion. The prodigal at that time was left in the hog pit, wasn't he? I made mention of the fact that I wish we didn't know all the story at that particular time, because it kind of ruins it, doesn't it? You know, we could have left it at that particular point. We'd all been wondering, what's going to happen to this young man? Is he going to stay in the hog pit? Is he going to learn a lesson? Is he going to get out? What's going to happen to the prodigal son? Well, tonight we find out exactly what happens. In fact, we're going to be looking at two more sections of this particular story. One section is entitled The Realization, verses 17 through 19, and the other is referred to as The Return, verses 20 through 21. Let's start with The Realization, verses 17 through 19. Notice that there are going to be several sections in this section. The first is this, the return of sound consciousness. The text says, and when he came to himself. Go home tonight and do a little study on that phrase, came to himself. Here's what the text means. It indicates a return to one's sanity. This man was out of his mind up until this particular point. He made his journey into a far country, and folks, while there, this young man literally went mad, didn't he? Up to this point in time, he was not himself. There's a lesson that we can learn, and it's this. It's possible for an individual to change in such a way that that individual, whether it be a he or a she, is not who they used to be. Now, there are many factors that can cause that particular situation, aren't there? An individual may have certain people come into his life, and all of a sudden he's associating with people that he never associated with before. Evil individuals, wicked individuals, individuals with different thought processes, and all of a sudden he becomes their best friend, and he all of a sudden begins to change into a totally different person. We see too that sometimes individuals can go through numerous life experiences, and those life experiences change that individual. Sometimes not for the better, but sometimes those experiences can cause that person to change into the worst. Sometimes an individual is fed wrong information. That individual trusts that information. He begins to put that information into effect in his life, and all of a sudden, those thinking processes begin to change and they work their way out in his life and he becomes a different person. Sometimes, though, the change simply is sin, isn't it? An individual begins to associate with sin, practice sin. It becomes a part of his life. It begins to rule over him as it was in the case of this young man, and he becomes a totally different individual. I bet you that every one of us could come up with an example of a person that we could say this about. He just isn't who he used to be. Can't you think of a few people like that? Folks, an individual can change. An individual can change from good to bad, and an individual can also change from being bad to good. This young man, however, came to himself. And notice what transpires. There is the remembrance of home. Notice what he says, and said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." All of a sudden, home is on his mind, isn't it? I find it interesting that the son knew exactly how the father's house would be running at this particular time, didn't he? He'd grown up in that home. He'd seen his father operate. He knew how his father thought. He knew that his father was trustworthy. He knew that his father was a hard worker. He knew that he was a man who planned ahead. He knew that he was a man that would not let circumstances overcome him. Even though there was a mighty famine in the land, notice he says, "Even my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare." I want you to think about that, because here was the son perishing with hunger. He could look back in his mind. He could see his home. He could see his father's house. He could see everything going on. And he could see those servants eating to their heart's content. And there he was, surviving barely on those carob pods that were fed to the swine, a son starving to death. Now there's again another lesson that we can learn from this particular text, and it's simply this, folks. We need to remember and thank God for our blessings while we have them. We do not need to reach a point in time when we look back and are regretful that we left the blessings that God has given to us. And that's exactly where this young man was, wasn't he? If I had stayed at home, I would have had plenty. If I would have just kept myself at home, I would have had enough to eat, even during this mighty famine. And now he regretted having left the Father's house. Folks, count your blessings while you have them. Don't regret them after leaving them. Notice point number three. There's the resolve of the son. Notice what he says. "I will arise and go to my father." Have his plans changed? Oh yes, drastically, haven't they? First he went to his father and he says, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he gathered up all of his things and he went into a far country. Now, plans have changed, haven't they? He's in the far country. He's exactly where he thought he wanted to be. And now his plans are, "I will arise and I will go back home." Folks, was this an interesting move? Absolutely. It involves an entire lesson if we wanted to talk about it. You see, it was a move of honesty, wasn't it? I need to go back home. I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I'm suffering, I'm starving to death, and my father's house has everything that I need. You see, it would be a move of honesty. Would it be a move of humility? Absolutely. He left his father's house proud and arrogant, had he not? "Time for me to get out of this house. Tired of Dad's rules, tired of Dad overseeing me, tired of Dad telling me everything I need to do. Just give me what is mine and I'll leave, Dad." And he did, and now he's got to eat a little crow, doesn't he? Now he's got to go back and he's got to face his father, he's got to face his brother, and he's got to desire to be back in that household. It's also a move of courage, isn't it? Folks, it's not easy to admit our mistakes. It's not easy to say, "I'm wrong." It's not easy to face an individual who we have sinned against and say, "Look, I've done wrong and I'm sorry." It's a bold move of courage. It's also one of wisdom, isn't it? It'd be interesting to see this young man and what would have happened to him had he stayed in the far country, isn't it? The Bible says that evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. It seems like once you're in sin and sin has reigned over you, life just continues to go down, doesn't it? And it's amazing to see the lives of individuals who are destroyed by sin and yet they refuse to come out of it. Here's a young man who realizes, I'm hurting and I need my Father's house, and it'll be a move of wisdom on his part, and also it's a move of submission, isn't it? In order to go back into Dad's house, guess what? It's no longer my will. It's whatever my Father desires, a move of submission. I will arise and go to my Father's house. Folks, the son knew he could go home. We made that point this morning, didn't we? You see, the son is sitting there and he knows how bad he has it. I will arise and go to my Father. He knew he could go home. How did he know that? Because he knew his dad, didn't he? He knew his father. He knew his father's heart. He also knew of his father's love. And he knew of his father's forgiveness, didn't he? Isn't that a wonderful thought? You see, I know the Father. I know who he is. And the very moment that I go back home, he won't reject me. My Father longs for me to be back in his house. And I can arise and I can go back at any time that I so desire. He knew he could go to his Father. What a lesson. But when he went, there was going to be repentance on his part. He says this, first, the admission of sins. And will say to my Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Notice there's a confession. I have sinned. Isn't it interesting that today we don't like to say the word sinned? I've messed up. I've done wrong. I made a mistake. I made a boo-boo. Man, we just try to make it just as little as it can possibly be. And yet, this young man, what does he say? I have sinned. And I find it interesting that he begins first with who? With heaven. I have sinned against heaven. You see, folks, sin is the transgression of God's law, is it not? And first and foremost, we violate the law of God when we sin. Now, granted, there are sometimes other individuals involved in our sins and in our iniquities. But first and foremost, we sin against God. David admitted that in Psalm 51, didn't he? Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David knew, I violated the law of God. And this young man too knew, I violated God's law. But he also says, Father, I've sinned against thee as well. I've done wrong. You're my father, you're my overseer, you're my caretaker, and I've done you wrong as well. There must be the admission of sin, folks. The son was willing to openly confess his transgressions. We have people today who are in sin in the church, and rather than just coming forward and admitting their sin, they would love to slip in the back door, don't they? They just kind of come back and perch themselves on the pew, and they just hope that individuals will finally at some point just receive them back, and they'll be in the fellowship and they'll just be part of the church again, and they never admit their guilt. The son didn't say, I think I'll slip in the back door. The son said, I will arise and will go unto my father and say, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. The Bible tells us, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, God wants us to have the courage, to have the fortitude, to have the love for Him to come forward and say, I have sinned against God and I need forgiveness. And the prodigal son is a wonderful example of that confession. But notice there's also the acceptance of the consequences. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice what he says. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You see, folks, the son knew that actions have consequences, don't they? Actions have consequences. And in this case, he was willing to take the consequence. Dad, I've left your home. I've taken my inheritance. I've wasted my inheritance. And when I come back to you, I'm not worthy to be your son. If you take me back, just put me back in the lowest position in the house. Just make me a hired servant. I am willing to accept the consequences. Again, we learn a lesson, don't we? Folks, there are times when consequences of sin cannot be reversed. We've transgressed the law of God and the consequences have come. We're sorry for it. We repent of having done those horrible things. We confess our transgression unto the Almighty God, and yet the consequences of our transgressions cannot be overcome. We have to live with the consequences. So there's the realization. Here's a young man who all of a sudden wakes up, comes to himself, is in his sanity. My father's house has tons waiting there. I can go there and I can have plenty, just like the hired servants. All I have to do is confess my sins and I'll be satisfied just to be a hired servant. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a totally different mindset than when that son left his home in days gone by. In verses 20 and 21, we read about the return home. It begins first with the road home, Luke 15, verse 28. Notice what it says. And he arose and came to his father. You know, sometimes I'm amazed at what the Bible leaves out, aren't you? Where did the son go? The son went into a far country. Folks, they didn't have planes. They didn't have trains. And they didn't have automobiles. He went into a far country. The journey was a long way from home. And guess what? It was a long journey back. And I'm amazed that there is nothing said about the son's feelings as he made that trip home. Not one thing. And he arose and came to his father. Can you imagine what he was feeling? Folks, it was a mixed bag of feelings, wasn't it? There was anticipation. There was dread. There was fear. There was guilt. There was shame. But there was also hope and happiness. Oh, when he first made those steps home, guess what? It was easy, wasn't it? I'm going home, and this is exactly what I'm going to do. But now he's 5 miles from home, 3 miles from home, a mile from home. Home's just over the next hill. Can you imagine what that young man is feeling deep, deep within as home grows closer? You see, there's individuals in churches who know they're in sin. They know that they've played the role of the prodigal. They know they've drifted away. And they know they need to come back. And yet, it's all of those feelings, all of those emotions that oftentimes just keeps them right there without coming and confessing their iniquities unto God. They're scared to death. I know I need to do it. But for some reason, they just can't muster the courage. They just cannot move and bring themselves into the Father's presence. There's a lesson here. Two of them, in fact. First, folks, once there is true resolution of mind, there is no going back. Isn't that right? This young man had gotten down into the hog pit, and he was just as bad as he could possibly be. And he made up his mind, I'm going home. And he arose and came to his father's house. There was no going back. I'm not going back to that slop. I'm not going back to that stink. I'm not going back to that being in need. I'm going home. You see, there's resolution of mind. And regardless of what the emotions are, when you know you need to come back, guess what? You make up your mind and you do it. Now, here's the beautiful point of the lesson. Prodigals who leave the house can come home. Do you remember how we introduced our very first lesson? All of us in this audience have experienced, most likely, a child or a relative who has drifted away from the faith. Now, there's all kinds of emotions that you and I experience because that child has left. And one of the questions that we have deep inside is this. Can that child ever come home? And guess what? The answer to that is yes. A prodigal can come home. Isn't it wonderful to have that kind of hope? This prodigal did it. Folks, don't ever lose faith that your son or your daughter who's in sin and iniquity will never return to the Lord. You pray for that every day. It's possible, isn't it? But notice the relief of a father. There's three points about this father that we learn. First, there's a watchful eye, isn't there? Notice what the text says. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. I wonder how many days his dad walked out of the house and looked down that road that his son had taken away from the home and wondered, when is he coming back? I bet it was almost every day, don't you? Every day. He looked down that dusty road and he thought, surely today will be the day that I'll hear from him. I wonder how many prayers this father prayed on behalf of this son. I want my son to come back. Father, I pray that something will happen that will cause him to wake up, that will cause him to come to his senses. I want my son to be back in my home, and every day he looked down that road longing for that. And I find it interesting that the father immediately recognized him, didn't he? Wouldn't you like to have seen this prodigal as he came home? Left clean shaven, now an old scraggly beard. Left in beautiful clothing, now he comes back in rags, not even shoes upon his feet. He left a very healthy specimen, and when he comes home, now he is hungry, is he not? Folks, he admitted that he was perishing with hunger. He was not the same young man that left. But yet when his father looked down that road, guess what? He immediately recognized his son, didn't he? Notice the text says he was what? A great way off. Can you imagine? Here his father steps out of the door again. He looks down that dusty road and he says, look, there he is. There's my boy. He knew his features. He knew his gait. He knew exactly who that was walking down that road. That's my son. And now his watchful eyes were filled with the literal presence of a returning prodigal, wasn't he? But notice secondly, there was a warm heart, wasn't there? The Bible says this, and had compassion. And had compassion. That little word compassion means the ability to suffer with another. This daddy, when he looked upon this son, was suffering with the son. He was hurting alongside of his son. Look at that poor boy. Look at the condition that he's in. Look at the rags that he's wearing. That's my son. And he hurt just as deeply as his son was hurting. Folks, compassion is the key to mercy, is it not? When we study the life of Jesus, we find over and over that Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. This morning we made mention of the priest and the Levite and how even though they thought they loved others, they would not show others care. Go and study the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the difference was that the Good Samaritan looked upon that man that was half dead, the Bible says, and he had compassion on him. And now a father looks upon his son, and what does he have? Compassion on him. And folks, it was that compassion, that suffering, that moved the feet of the father and led to a welcoming embrace and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him, the Bible says. Folks, the son made a move home, and guess what? The minute the father saw him, the father made his move toward the son. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. James 4, verse 8. Folks, the very minute we wake up, the very minute we desire to come home, the very minute we make that first step, guess what? God's eyes are on us. And he sees the move. And guess what? God doesn't wait for us to get to him. He runs to us. And he fell upon this boy, embracing him and kissing him, didn't he? I find this interesting. In the Father, there's no anger. None expressed whatsoever. There's no shame cast upon the Son. There's no questions that he asks. There's no looking at the boy saying, I told you you'd be back. There's no I told you so's, not with this father. And watch this, there's no payment requested at all. Remember, this son took a third of the father's goods and wasted them in the foreign land. And when he returns, he has nothing, and there's no payment requested. Just firm hugs and loving kisses. You see, there's a lesson, folks, and it's this. The picture of this father is the picture of our heavenly father upon the return of any prodigal to the family of God. God isn't full of anger and hate. He isn't going to try to shame us. He's not expecting some payment. It's just what? It's just hugs and kisses. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 30 verse 9, "For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. He will not turn his face away from you," watch this, "if you return to him." You see, that's all that's there. Just come home, confess your sin, and God will wrap his arms around you and welcome you in to his home. Wow. The story's not over though. Remember, the son had said in that foreign land that when I get back to dad, I've got some things I've got to say to him, don't I? And this is what he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The thoughts that he made in the far country now come to fruition, don't they? Question. Do you think these were difficult words? And do you think they took courage to say? Oh, absolutely. You know, it's not easy to walk the aisle and to stand before a congregation and say, you know, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against this congregation of the Lord's people. It takes courage. Those are difficult words. But what's even interesting to me is this. It's difficult to hear, isn't it? You know, the Father loved His Son. He had compassion on His Son. And it's not easy to hear your son spilling his guts to you, Dad, I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. That's not easy to hear, is it? And yet, folks, it's those kind of words that are essential to forgiveness, isn't it? Jesus says, therefore, take heed unto yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Now listen to this. And if he repent, forgive him. Luke 17:3. You see, this young man was what? He was manifesting true repentance to his father. Dad, I've sinned against you, and I'm just not worthy to be called your son. Folks, this son had done two of the most difficult things for a child to do. Do you know that? The first thing is he had left his home and gone into the far country. Now, a child thinks that's easy. A child thinks that's simple. I can take care of myself. I'm a grown person. I've got plenty. I know what to do. And off he goes. And all of a sudden, guess what? He experiences what is referred to as the University of Hard Knocks, doesn't he? And the old world is not as easy as he thinks it is. But you see, the second thing that he experienced was the return home in a penitent condition before his father. That's not easy either. In fact, it may take more ability and more strength to do the second one than the first. Now, I do find it interesting that the son didn't finish everything that he said he was going to say. Now he did say, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But he didn't say this, make me as one of thy hired servants. He didn't say that. Now he said he was going to say that, but he didn't say it. So guess what? We'll find out why in the next lesson. See, you got to come back next Sunday. There's more to the story because you see, folks, there's something wonderful about to happen and there is something horrible that is about to happen in this story of the prodigal son. Question tonight is this. Are you a prodigal? Have you left the faith? Have you left your diligent service behind? Have you gone off into the far country? Folks, you need to come to yourself just like this young man did. You know that? You need to wake up. You need to have a reality check. I'm wrong. I've sinned. And I need to be back in the Father's house. Oh yes, it's going to take honesty, humility. It's going to take courage and wisdom. It's going to take some submission on your part, but guess what? The very moment you move to God, He'll move to you. He longs to see your return home, doesn't He? And when you get here, He'll fall upon your neck and embrace you and kiss you and welcome you home. Do you need to do that tonight? Won't you do that? Maybe you're not a Christian and you need to obey the gospel through faith, repentance, confession of the name of Jesus and immersion into Christ for the remission of sins. My friends, God is waiting for that person too, isn't He? He's calling for that person. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, God longs to welcome us into